And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So what we looked at last week was a thought that Jesus went through frequently as he walked this earth in his ministry, and a thought that the Apostle Paul and many of the other writers of the New Testament talked about is we are, as a child of God, we're not a father of the devil, but sometimes our life displays that we are. You follow me there? There's a lot of truth in the fact. In fact, we looked at that word manifest, and it just simply means what is readily apparent. And so I may be a child of God, but if I live a certain way in my life to where the world looks at my life, they may think I'm a child of Satan, or they may think that I have nothing to do with the Lord. Listen to this, 1 John 3:10. In this, the children of God are manifest, or readily apparent, and the children of the devil are manifest, or readily apparent. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. And so we see that very practical point that we need to understand, that although we could learn all about Satan and all the details of what God's word tells us, what's most important is that we don't act like him. We don't act like a child of Satan, a child of the devil. So having said that, let me open us up with a word of prayer, and then we'll start our passage reading from Matthew chapter 4. Father, we just pray that you'd be with us here in this lesson. And Lord, I pray that you'd clear my mind and just bring clarity to what has been prepared. And Lord, we are so grateful that we can hear from you. We're so grateful here in just a few minutes that we'll be hearing from you when Brother Chris preaches. We have found a church that actually believes in the Word of God, and the pastor and the teachers therein look to you for their inspiration. They look to the Word of God, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So beforehand, I've asked Linda to read. I don't know where that came from. Linda to read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Go right ahead. Thank you, Linda. The reason that I wanted to start out in Matthew chapter 4 was a very real scenario here of where Satan tempted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if Satan has the courage, if he has the wherewithal to do that to the Son of God, you know that that is going to happen to the child of God, to me and you. Now, your handout says there, does Satan exist? 7 Old Testament books and 19 New Testament books refer to the existence of Satan. And so Satan is talked about in Scripture. Your handout also says, list the 3 names or titles used of Satan in this passage. Well, we find 3 of them: devil, tempter, and Satan. 3 different specific words that are in this passage. And then it says, how many times did Satan tempt the Lord? Well, he tempted him 3 different times. And how did the Lord Jesus answer the devil? He says, it is written. All 3 times, that's what Jesus said to Satan after he was tempted. Now, it's worthwhile to note, if you look up in verse number 6, after Satan tempted the Lord the second time, Satan used those same words. Look in verse number 6, and he saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee." So Satan's very good at acting like God. He's very good at pushing God's word to us, but only for his benefit. Just like he said here, he's trying to get Jesus to do this in this second temptation by using the word of God, "for it is written." So he's a very real presence in our life. He's a very real presence in the world today. And how did he start? Well, take your Bible and turn over to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. And I'll give you just a moment to turn there. I'm going to read this passage, and then there's also a lot of verses, but I think it's a good way to start on Satan's existence, on his origin. Ezekiel chapter 28, and I will start reading in verse 11 here in just a minute. But your handout says, primarily, this is a prophecy against the king of Tyre, probably Ethbaal II. The first 10 verses in this chapter were historically fulfilled by Nebuchadnezzar's invasion and 13-year siege of Tyre. Yet in this prophecy, we see another personage, the one behind the wicked king of Tyre, and that's Satan. This is known as a double prophecy. It has a near and far fulfillment. So, although we're talking about the king of Tyre here, the basis who is behind the king of Tyre and all of his evil, wickedness, and his godlessness is Satan himself, as we're going to see that. Read with me in verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, that's why we know he's talking about Satan here. We know that the king of Tyre wasn't in the Garden of Eden. This is about who was behind the king of Tyre and all of his evil, and that was Satan. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. God created Satan with a special position among the angels, the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Therein lies the start of Satan's path down evil, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth the fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now that's a lot of reading, but here we see a point in Satan's life where his pride took over and he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be above God, and he paid the price. He started going down that path of iniquity in his life, and he will be someday forever destroyed, and we know that to be from our reading in Revelation, but your handout says, is Satan an eternal or created being? Well, he's a created being. Upon what verse would you base your answer? Well, you can base it off of the last part of verse 14, or, I'm sorry, the last part of verse 13, or you can base it off of verse 15. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. What was Satan originally? Well, he was the anointed cherub. He was the anointed angel. He was the special one. That's in verse number 14. And then it says, according to verse 15, what change took place which dramatically altered Satan's original status? Well, iniquity was found in him. The Bible says, till iniquity was found in him. And so we see this great sin of Satan. Now, if you'll take your Bible and turn over to Isaiah 14. Now, I want to only ask you to turn to one more place, Isaiah 14, and then I'll read the rest because I know it's a lot. Isaiah chapter 14. And we'll see a little more about that sin of Satan, exactly what he did in his sin against God. Isaiah chapter 14, according to Ezekiel, this indescribably beautiful, intelligent, powerful celestial being sinned through pride. The account is enlarged upon in Isaiah 14, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weakest the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Now, your handout says, underscore the five I wills of Isaiah 14, verse 13 and 14. And I read those, I accentuated those when I read those to you. When we were in verse 13, Satan said, I will ascend into heaven. He says, I will exalt my throne. He said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. And then in the next verse, he says, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. And the last thing he says here is, I will be like the Most High God. And that was his last I will, which is number two in your handout. His last I will was, I will be like the Most High. And then your handout says, according to verse 15, where is Satan's final destiny? Well, it's hell. That's his destination. That's where he's going. But he's not there yet. Where is he now? Well, according to Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 2, Satan is the prince and power of the air. Valerie's got it up on the screen. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan has a vested interest as prince and power of the air in working against God and his children. He's got a vested interest in making me as disobedient as he can to my Father's will. I was. Anytime I go through a series like this, I like to hear what different. You know, I do a lot of driving, so this month's already been about, well, the past 30 days, about close to 6,000 miles. So I listen a lot to different teachers. This is the common thing that I have found in the people, in the preachers that I, in the teachers that I listen to, is the study of Satan is a very serious undertaking. There have been There have been so many pastors and preachers over the years that have gone into a study of Satan and things go south in their church. I think Satan is a very powerful, powerful entity. He knows when he is up against some people who are seeking God's leadership and God's direction in their life, and he fights that. He is called here the prince and power of the air. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ." And then it says, "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Well, that's another thing that Satan does as he's busy in trying to take us down, is accusing us before God. Accuser of our brethren is his title. Your handout says, according to Revelation 12:10, Satan can appear before God to accuse believers. And then it says, according to 1 Peter 5:8 and Job 1:7, Satan is also walking the earth. That's what he's doing right now. Listen to 1 Peter 5:8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And you know the story of Job. You know how God gave to Satan. He kept him on a leash, but he gave to Satan the power to do certain things to Job and to Job's life and his family so God could be glorified in the life of Job. So God could be praised from Job's faithfulness. And in Job 1:7, the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord, listen to what he said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." So Satan is also walking the earth. He's looking at ways at how to trip up God's people. He knows how to do that. He knows the things that are in my head and your head that will most likely trip us up. And he does that. He goes about trying to do this against God's work and God's people. Your handout says, from these scriptures, we learn that Satan is alive and active in many areas. Read Matthew 25:41 and Revelation 20:10, where we learn that Satan will end up in the lake of fire, but he's not there yet. By the way, when he is cast into hell, he will not be the king of hell. He'll just be a resident, tormented forever. Matthew 25, verse 41 says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So he's busy tripping God's people up. He's busy accusing the brethren. He's busy trying to get me off into things and get you off into things that does no good for our Christian life, no good for our relationship with God whatsoever. But specifically, how does he work among people? Let's look at first how he works among the unsaved. You'll remember the story of the tares. So the good seed and the bad seed, productive seed, and you remember that. Well, listen to this verse, Matthew 13:38. "The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one." So Satan was directly responsible, or Satan's people was directly responsible, and the analogy is being compared to the tares that chokes the good seed, chokes the plant that's being productive. And Satan knows how to do that to my life, and he knows how to do that to your life. Your handout says, look up Matthew 13:38, and then three other verses. "According to these scriptures, what does God call those who are lost?" Well, he calls them children of the wicked one, children of the devil. Remember, John 8:44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will do." So we know that unsaved people are being worked by Satan just as God's people are, but in a different light. Another thing he's doing to the unsaved is blinding them. Look up 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. What is Satan's major work among the among the lost, blinding the minds of them that do not believe. Let me read you that verse, 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is busy blinding the people of the lost so they will not see the blessings of the truth, the blessings of the gospel. But Satan's also busy among Christians as well. He's not only just doing things among the unsaved. Your handout says, look up 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. That verse says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, who is the one that is in us? Christ. Christ is in us. Who is the one that is in the world? Satan. Now, here's the most important question. Who's the greatest? Christ, Jesus Christ. Your handout says, it's essential for you to know this fact because Satan is a powerful being. The Bible teaches that he works with the whole kingdom of darkness made up of angels that sinned with him in the beginning. The Bible refers to these as devils or demons and evil spirit. So Satan is very powerful. We know that. He can inflict a lot of damage. In fact, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. But because we have the greater one in us, he does not have the upper hand. He does not have the final say on what goes on in our life because we have God's Holy Spirit living within us. And God's Spirit, if we allow him to control us and if we allow God's Spirit to so move in our hearts, he is the one that fights our battles. Excuse me. So how can Satan work in the life of the believer? Well, number one, he can tempt us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So he knows exactly where you are and where I am in our hearts and in our life, and he knows just how to tempt us to get us off track. I'm sure that one thing is different from everybody here. We probably don't have the same temptations, but Satan knows what they are. He tempts us. And then he accuses us when we fall. Revelation 12:9. We already read this. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And verse number 10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Well, it's going to be a wonderful day when the accuser is put away. Beverly, the great accuser that's stood before God and accused you of things before him will be done away with. That's what the book of Revelation says. And we got to understand that Satan can tempt us, he can accuse us, and he'll hinder our service. That's letter C. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hinder us. Boy, Satan knows how to hinder us, doesn't he? He knows how to hinder our desire to serve the Lord. He not only hinders us, but he tries to get us to depart from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Newsflash, he doesn't want us here this morning. And he knows how to discourage us, doesn't he? He knows how to make us say or think, I don't need to go down there this morning. I don't need to go down there and assemble with God's people. And he knows us how to discourage us and look at things. We were talking, Valerie said this morning, when I told her that my head wasn't on right this morning. She said, you got some of that stinking thinking going? And I said, yeah, I do. I got some stinking thinking going on, and I think it was just Satan messing with my mind. My dad's preaching over at New Testament Baptist Church, and he loves doing that. He fills in for pastors who are on vacation and what have you, kind of like what I like to do. And so our kids who go here, the ones that go here, we found out that they're all going to hear their grandpa preach at church. Well, that's a good thing. That's special, isn't it? That's a special, good, positive thing. But it discouraged me because they're not here. You know, and so that's what, as I was driving in from Lubbock, I was like, that's what Satan's just bringing you down this morning. I mean, it's not like they're out of church. It's not like they're out for something bad, but they're out. And I was letting that get me. Well, Satan knows how to do that. He knows how to throw things in front of God's people. He knows how to get us off track. And we got to remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, even though our encouragement can be messed with, and there's obviously at the end of our lesson here, we're out of time. Take your handout home. It tells us how to deal with the devil. And those are very, very well laid out points there. I didn't come up with those, but I was blessed by the reading of the scriptures under them. Remembering that Satan is a defeated foe. Remembering we're on the winning side. Remember to put the whole armor of God. Now, that's an important one right there. When you get home and you start reading your handout, you go to Ephesians chapter 6 and you start seeing all the parts of the armor that we need in our walk with the Lord. Those are important. Those are the Word of God. That's composed of prayer. That's composed of truth, the faith, being saved, reading the Word of God. Those are very, very important to the child of God. And so Paul, in writing that book of Ephesians, gives us a mental picture of what you and I need to be able to fight against Satan. And those are the things that will make us successful as we do that. All righty. Well, good to have you guys here this morning. Brother Stacy, would you dismiss us in prayer?